swearing or you don't care?
Fuck, all good, bro. Well, I'm trying to, for my own personal thing, I'm trying to chill a little bit more, but you do what you gotta
do. I'll try to be pretty good.
What's up, guys? So we're just catching up today with Matthew from Carlin Construction. He's a local builder in Melbourne. Real passionate about passive homes, really passionate about building an A team around him. He has disclosed to himself he's not the most fantastic builder, but he's the best guy at hiring the best team. So take a listen to this podcast, real interesting. He's been in the game for a long time, super passionate about building, mental health, and building an A team as well. So take a listen to this one. Hope you enjoy it.
I won't lie.
You're sweet.
I was like,
man.
Oh fuck, I've got to be careful.
Nah.
Because I just started one with a mate too, and we've got 8 episodes. We're just waiting to get about 15.
Oh, man, what are you doing? What are you basing it on?
Mindful building. So like building better, being better in the street, collaboration.
Nice.
Mixing mental health with both.
That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah. So
that's
we're
real
just
cool.
Early. It's been a year and a half. We didn't realize how much work is properly involved with it properly.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna just do it for fun, and then we're like, oh, we'll do it monthly, then we'll do it fortnightly. It's like, well, if we're going to do fortnightly, we might as well do it weekly.
Yeah, exactly,
so
man.
How it goes, we have no fucking idea.
That's cool. We're the same, man. I got invited on one podcast last year, and I just saw from a business perspective how status. Good it was, so I was just like, nah, we've got to...
It's purely status. Like, it's an investment, but it's a status thing, like, because everyone's doing the same shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, now how do I be better? How do I be different?
Yeah, man. Have you noticed in your business a growth, like with anything you do, so you've got a good social media following.
Yeah.
Is it like, do you get good engagement off your social media?
Fucking tons.
Yeah.
I'm like I'm always got like fangirls now.
Gangster.
Yeah, like I've like got little like people who just like everything I do, they copy and send me what they're doing. I'm like, cool.
Now
I'm actually, this year I was like, you know what? I'm actually taking the time to reply to anyone who reaches out.
Yeah.
So a lot of people asking for advice, I'll give it, but it's always general in nature.
Yeah, but, nice, man.
Purely on the... Yeah, like if someone's going to take the time to ask me a question, I feel I should reply.
Bro, I feel like it's that cool little community thing. And you think about it, if you just take 20 seconds out of your time to reply to someone, fuck, they might know someone that's after someone, and that could result in $250,000 job.
That's it. So anyone that calls me now, no matter how shit the job is, I always call them and pass them on to someone. So
yep,
I had one yesterday for like 40 grand to spend. I was like, my fees aren't even 40 grand. Like, it's going to cost you 10 grand for me to quote the job. Speak to this person. That's how
Nice.
So, but you just got to come across really politely.
Yeah.
Without sounding arrogant and sounding like you're trying to be nice. Like, it's a hard mix.
Yeah,
it's a tough
sure.
mix of how I try to work it out. But yeah, I've got a good little following.
Nice, bro.
I'm getting like tons of inquiries. Like, I reckon I'm almost on one a day at the moment.
Nice. Purely through Instagram?
Purely. Oh, and SEO through my website.
SEO, yeah.
So no one understands how SEO. My wife's in marketing.
Yeah, cool.
So she's at Petstock. So
nice.
They're a big pet company who spend fucking millions.
That's nice.
So I'm getting all good information. But everyone's just like, oh, bit of Facebook, bit of this. Like, you got to own whatever you want to market through.
One platform,
You just got to, even if it's two, you just got to own it. You got to, so I've got an SEO team that I've found on Upwork, spend $1,700 bucks a month. They work everything out.
Yeah, nice.
$1,700 a year.
Yeah.
Actually, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fuck off.
Whoa.
There's like a team of like 8 of them in India just.
Yeah, doing their thing.
Doing their thing. Go for it. Like, I just get them to run all that.
Nice.
And that's found. I found a lot of organic leads through that too.
Cool.
So because my space on what the keywords I'm after, no one's using. So now I practically own them.
Yeah, you own the words. And whenever someone types that in.
Passive house, I come up straight away.
Nice,
even the Passive House Association, I think I'm above them now.
Yeah.
So no one thinks about it.
Yeah.
So,
it is crazy, man. Wherever the attention goes, the old money flows, eh?
Yeah.
Give us a rundown when you left school, did your apprenticeship, your background, how you started the building now, where you're at.
I started building, going back, I did the whole uni thing. So I did a degree in science, majoring in nutrition.
Cool.
I fucking hated it. So
why'd you do it? Thought it was good at the time.
I wanted to be a doctor. I worked out very quick that I am not smart enough.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in the medical field, but then I realized it just wasn't for me. And then I remember being halfway through it, being like, look, I'm going to see it out. I don't want to do it. And then dad's an electrician by trade, brother's a plumber. I was like, oh, I'll go, I want to get into construction somehow. I've always been interested in architecture, building. I didn't want to go back to university.
Yeah.
I just thought that.
How long had you spent there?
At uni?
Yeah.
I'd done 3 years then.
Okay, cool.
So like 18 high school, straight into uni. And then I was like, look, this isn't for me. And I was like, look, I can go back to uni, I'm gonna have a huge hex debt, but dad's like you've got to be able to talk to tradies, you've got to be able to communicate with them if you want to build houses, because it's just not learning it out of a book. He always complained about engineers on his job not knowing the on-site side of things. Which I've found sort of similar patterns, but now I've found some really good engineers to work with, funnily enough, that actually get it. But I was like, look, I'm gonna go be a carpenter. So I worked for two guys, they were awesome, but I was a shit carpenter.
Yeah.
I was a horrible carpenter. Like, I'm so
At least you're honest, bro.
But I was so honest about it.
Like, I'm the same as well,
not
man.
Not for me.
Yeah, I very quickly jumped more into like the management, organizing, love doing like site delivery, like organizing all that shit.
I would just realize that like I got it, it completely clicked. And because I had studied, I was a little bit more academic, I knew how to like research and do these things. So I started doing my diploma in construction management at night, which was just, look, you're 22 and you're just like, well, I've got nothing else to do. Other than go out, hike, and party.
Yeah, go out and get on the piss.
I just essentially decided to go down that road, and I knew from the start I did not want to be on the tools. I just wanted to be a builder and manage things. And I got a really good like training apprenticeship. Like the guys are awesome, like really, really good at what they did. But then there was just this question, like, I want more. Like I hate working for people. I was a checkout chick at Coles at the time, and I just wanted to do my own thing. I'm not great at being told what to do.
I just
like to go do it. And I want to get it, like, just do it now. I don't understand people, like, that wait around.
Yeah.
So I just decided that I'd finish my apprenticeship, went and worked with another builder. I wanted to learn how not to do things and how not to treat people. So I went and worked with him for a few months and learned very quickly that's not how you operate to treat people.
And was it just a toxic work culture?
Just walk on eggshells type of environment. But I wanted to see that first.
So
I wanted to be like, all right, that's how I never want to treat anyone. And that's probably one of the major reasons why I'm thankful I've got an awesome culture.
Yeah, nice.
Now within my team, like, they're awesome. Like, I'm only as good as the people around me. I've got awesome trades. My team are fucking sensational. Like,
yeah, nice.
I'm just the puppet that moves everything there. Essentially, the people
get
things
bro.
Done. They're the ones that have to be outside when it's raining or hot or those sort of things. So
hard out, bro. It's a tough gig, man.
It's not easy. So I finished my apprenticeship. Then I just went for my builder's license. I knew that I was quite academic, that I could actually work it out very quickly and study. So I just studied my ass off to know everything back to front.
Yeah.
And I got it. And I knew nothing at that time.
Yeah,
and
nice,
I was just like, fake it till you make it.
Yeah. How old were you at that stage?
I think 20,
roughly
24. Yeah, because I've now, this year's my 10th year in business. So
nice. Yeah, well done. Congrats, years. Man. What do they reckon? Most people fail within the first
first few years.
Couple years,
I think people just overcomplicate business.
Yeah, for sure.
So now I just went into it and built like what I would consider the standard Australian home. And then I was like, this isn't enough. I wanted more. And then I did the passive house course, I reckon, in 2018. And I was like, why the fuck have I been building this way forever?
Yeah.
Like, I just, from that moment, I was like cold turkey, not doing anything else.
Yeah.
I pulled out on about $3 million worth of work. I was like, I'm out. I'm not building this way anymore. And like, I was meant to start a job within a few weeks, pretty much about to sign a contract. I was like, nah.
Standard house building.
I'm out. I'm not doing this. Like, it's not what I stand for anymore. And I'm just going to have a crack at them. Go all in on it.
What were your biggest reasons or things you wanted to see or change?
The original thought was, like, we need to be better.
Mm.
We need to demand more of our buildings, and we have the answers, and we look everywhere else around the world, and the answers are there, but we refuse to
do it here. Do you reckon it's just red tape or costs or people not wanting to, like, education?
It's education. We have a thing here, everything's about price.
Yeah.
That it's cheaper. Mm. I think that there's a lack of education. I think our education system, when it comes to architects, engineers, trades, it's just tick box. Get them sign off, get the government funding to approve the course. Like, the trade schools are so outdated.
Yeah.
I have no idea why they're still being taught to use hand planers to plane a wall. Like, fuck me.
Yeah, did someone last use one of those, eh?
Seriously, like, there's tools now that we have these awesome tools, and I think that's a whole system and whole topic that needs to be reformed, that whole part. I was just like, look, there's also an insurance and liability side of things on this. Like, we're building houses that have condensation and mold.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to be responsible for that. So that was one of the major things. Plus, at the time, I considered myself a sustainable builder. I now look back and I it was pure greenwashing. I had no idea what sustainable meant. I was just like, well, I'll be that. But then I was like, well, what does it actually mean? And then it was just this mixture of things and being like, you know what? I am going to not wait for it. I'm just going to create it.
Change.
And that's then just this deep rabbit hole I've gone down post
that course. Yeah, sure. So when you first started Carling Construction, what was your first job and how did you get it?
First job,
Small ones?
It was about $350,000 renovation.
It's not a bad first job.
It was good. And the clients were awesome. I've actually seen them every now and again. It was in Williamstown where I've grown up.
Yeah.
Awesome couple. I think they'd renovated like 11 times before. Don't know if I ever told them that I'd never built one on my own license.
Fake it till you make it. Yeah.
Like at the same time, I was also doing a renovation development with dad and my brother and family. So I was getting exposed to that management on the side.
Yeah.
But I think I now look back at that whole experience being a checkout chick at Coles and the training that I probably got from customer service relayed into communication.
Yeah, nice.
And that just then probably just transitioned into knowing how to deal with people.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus, I'm very big on using tech and communication online. I'm very good on an email. I'm not your average builder. I'm not on site as much as, I'm not on there every day. I've got a good team that do that. I put A players around me that's what their strength is.
Yeah, nice.
I'm good at running the office back-end stuff. I'm dealing with clients, architects. That's my strength.
Nerd side.
Nerd side.
Good
chuck
man.
Chuck the NBA on in the background while I'm plugging away with the numbers.
That's
just
the one, bro.
Just tune out. So.
Yeah. So what's your company like? Because obviously I want to keep our questions just tailored towards what we do and what people follow us for.
Yeah.
From the client face, sales, estimating, contractual side, how do you run that process at your business?
So it's a really good question. I think a lot of people get this really, really wrong. I'm not for everyone and everyone's not for me.
Yeah.
So my first part is I need to vet that client to make sure we're on the same page because it's a marriage. I'm signing off on them for 10 years and we need to get along. So my first thing is I will put you through a bit of a form to understand what you want to do. I want to get as much information about you as possible to know about the job and who you are as a person.
Yep.
And at least 50% of the time that conversation lasts 5 minutes because they might not be my type of person.
Yeah, for sure.
I really value client relationships. So as much as they choose me, I choose them.
Yeah.
I will then grab a coffee. So I've got one this afternoon with a potential client that we clicked.
Yeah.
We'll grab a coffee and it's just like, I'll be straight up honest what I think their ideas are going to be worth.
Yeah.
And I will probably tell them things they don't want to hear and explain that, hey, what you want to spend is $2 million. I know you've got $1 million, but that in your head, that's $2 million.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I'll just break that really hard news to them very early. And then our process is to be involved as like a consultant early on. So we will do a site investigation. We'll then work to do a quick building estimate to understand what the project might be worth off some concepts the architect has found.
Yeah, nice, bro. That's a big thing we're big on is trying to, I don't know, people, I think, talk about numbers earlier the better because then everyone's very clear and similar about what something's going to cost.
Well, you've got to be honest. Like I was involved in a project last year that come in real late. Like the house's design, interiors, and this is a worst case situation, by the way.
Yeah.
The designer was like, it's going to cost just over $1 million. It's fine. I'm like, this is over $3 million.
Yeah.
Over $3 million every day of the week. And got to the end, I was $3.36 million.
Yeah, well.
And they had knocked down their house.
Yeah.
So the other part about that is I know other builders have gone on post to quote that job and we're all around the same number.
Oh.
So that is a worst case. And that is why I always say to people like that feasibility, knowing your numbers, what it's going to cost so you can go to the bank and know if you can afford it.
Yeah.
Get that done early.
Yeah, for sure.
Because at the end of the day, it's your biggest asset. It's probably the most amount of money you're going to spend on any one item.
Yep.
Do your research. You need to work with proper industry professionals. You need to get a good team around you that are role players. I'll go back to the NBA. Not everyone is the best player. Everyone has their role. So you got to find those people that suit the role to create the best team.
Yeah, make up a good team of five. Yeah.
And it's even it's from builders to architects to quantity surveyors to engineers, interior designers, energy consultants. There's a lot of people that go through and at the end of the day, yes, it's more upfront cost, but that should be factored into your overall construction cost anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's going to save you money on site anyway. So it works. It probably works out cheaper doing it that way regardless.
Cool. So for your dream client, say for the one that's up this afternoon, you'll do a site visit, have a coffee. What's kind of your next step?
This is just a coffee. I haven't even signed them up yet. So
oh, okay.
This so, is yeah. just a pure, hey, are we I want to know you.
Oh, sweet,
so
man.
Yeah, so are you for me?
Cool.
I want to know if you, for me, if we are on the same line. This one needs to look at finding a building designer architect.
Yeah. And do you have all of that?
I can pass them on to a few. More the ones probably to avoid that I will never put in writing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I'm happy to work with anyone as long as we're aligned and we all want the same outcome.
Yeah, man.
It's easy. It's an easy process, but everyone fucks it up and wants to get too confusing and
overcomplicate
shit.
You
know what works? Simple shit.
Yeah.
Simple shit works. So, nice. I think that once we understand that and we go through, so the process will be now is like, I will then send them our fee to be involved. So that will be a fee that will be the quick building estimate and a site investigation.
What do you
and
charge for that fee?
So that fee, that original one is about $1,500 depending on the project involvement, where it is. Like there's a number of
course,
factors.
Of course.
And then if they're all happy with that pricing, and I'd call it like the town planning permit just before you send it off to get planning approval, we want to be in before then because we just don't want to keep making changes and spending more money than you don't need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then once we've got that locked in and we're happy the client to understand that, yes, this is the range we think it's worth, then we'd be part of a full design development conversation where we'll be on anything the architect wants to know, the interior designer, we will engage with the engineer and work with them about talking about buildability and structure.
Yep.
We're not architects, we're not designers. That's their job. Yep, we trust the people around us, but we do know how to build a house. We know what is expensive to construct it and how to construct it. We know that a lot of money can be wasted in your frame and your slabs, so we want to make sure that that's built for not only performance, for durability.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that water's managed correctly on the site because water kills buildings, so we just want to deal with these things up front.
For sure.
We want to know as much about that building as possible. What a client spends inside and what it looks like, that's up to them. Everyone has their unique flavor or whatever they feel like. I'm not paying for the build to live in it, that's them.
Yeah.
So we'll do that, and then once we're sort of ready as complete tender package sort of thing, we will then price the project as a full estimate.
Yeah.
We do not competitive tender. If you want a competitive tender, I'm not for you.
Yeah, cool, man.
We know what we know and we know it well. We also do a lot of chat with performance. So energy consultants, mainly from the passive house side of things, that's where we pay for ourselves in the engineering meeting and that meeting, because if we're trying to meet a certain energy performance, like a certain, trying to get certified for passive house, if we're going to add all these things in to get there, we can work out that fine line of like, that's an expensive option. This is not going to cost anymore. Let's go with that one. So we can keep things, I would say, within the budget as much as possible.
Yeah, cool. So in regards to obviously that first site visit, going through the tender, and did you say you charge sort of, what are your fees?
So post that initial one, it's about 0.5% of the contract.
Okay,
price.
Cool. Yeah.
And that's the pay consultants. I'm honest, we lose out on that unless it goes to site.
It
is only to cover some fees to make sure that the clients have some skin in the game.
Yeah, man.
But just like the amount of time and hours we put in, like,
It is a lot, man, and people don't take that into consideration.
Oh, if a project doesn't go ahead, I reckon it's about $20,000 to $30,000 of our time that just goes down the gurgler. We need to get it to site.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just not viable.
But it's like, where else, if you guys weren't available to do that, where else would they go and get it? Can you contract, how do you find, where's that person that's going to do all of that,
I think that's to find the person that cares, because I know if you're going to, the old system of going out and getting someone to quote for free is silly because they're not invested in it. They just want to know if they get the job or not. They're not going to think about the project.
No.
They just want to get it or not. So, who in what industry would do something essentially for free?
Yeah.
They're never going to be committed properly to it. So
it is insane, man. I know you're probably at a lot higher end of the building market, but a lot of guys that are coming out, or say, for example, just finished their apprenticeship, going out, working for their first job, trying to get their first job, they are quoting for free. But in saying that, the jobs that they're going for might be, $50,000, $100,000.
I've done that. I did that. But my advice to those people is you've got to start somewhere.
Even if
it's $100.
Yeah.
You know what? You feel being paid $100 to do that estimate even if it's $50,000 job, they've got the confidence. They respect my professional opinion. That's it. You don't walk into a dentist and I just want to see what's going on for a checkup and afraid I'll know if I come back later. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, you can't do that, eh? So you're saying about your marketing stuff, obviously you're pretty well off in that department. How many sort of leads are you getting on average on a monthly basis throughout the Melbourne area?
We're getting at the moment, I would say if I look at last year's statistics, I think I had 65 people fill out my form, and that doesn't include the people that have reached out that I on the phone that I just didn't direct them there and I'm like, look, I'm not for you, or architects that have inquired. Now we make sure everyone fills out the form except architects. We will deal with them directly, building designers.
Yeah.
But any client that reached out, we just fill out a form cool. first, we'll then get back to you.
Nice.
So look, I think this year we should probably have around 100 inquiries, I would say.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So you definitely see stuff as getting busier in Melbourne now?
Yeah, definitely. Like I only ran some numbers late last year, and I know about 47% of my inquiries come through people that follow me
yeah.
on Instagram specifically. That's but then great. I know that about 70% of my referrals are other builders.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that
that's nuts, man.
Yeah. I refer other jobs to other builders all the time. Like, I've got a great little community that we don't really cross over an area of. I'm like, hey, that's suited to them better. Like, I'll be like,
yeah.
hey, like, you should speak to this person.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's the power of having a good group of people in the industry that you can push work to each other and take work from, like,
absolutely.
They refer it to you. So
yeah.
I've got two jobs at the moment that have been referred on, actually potentially now three that should be going soon that are all from other builders.
Yeah, nice, man. So that's good, eh?
Yeah.
So you talk about a good little team there. How have you sort of built and got your team in your building team organized? How many people do you have in the office, and what's your kind of on-site structure?
Yeah, good question. I've got me and a girl that we're together in the office, and then cool. I've got my bookkeeper and accounts. She runs all that side of things.
Nice.
On-site, I have, I think, six at the moment.
Yep.
They're awesome. Some yep. are apprentices, some are carpenters. I'm big on poaching people.
Yeah,
Like, especially as you get more older, like, if you're in this market, if you're free and you're a carpenter and you can't find work, I think you should be looking somewhere else.
Yeah, man.
If I'm looking for someone, I'll go find you.
Yeah.
I've got a list of people that are on my radar that I'll always be like, either they got to love their job and that's what I want, and they've got to fit the culture. Like, yeah. you know what? You don't have to be the best worker. We can teach you that. We just need you to want to be there.
And be a team player.
But just be a nice person. Like, yeah. It's really simple.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
So we just want you to be really good person. I don't care what your background is or anything like that. You need to be fit the mold.
Yep.
So yeah.
What's a couple of things that you try and do or implement that makes your culture good, or you do have a good culture, or different from other people's?
Nothing special.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, I'm trying to bring in this idea of like as long as they get their jobs done, I don't care.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and I'm very relaxed on site. Like, I never scream and yell. I don't believe that's the right way to approach the industry. That's the old, outdated approach.
Yeah,
I'm big on just like letting them make decisions. Like, they're the carpenters. They know how to do it. Like,
yeah.
If you've got a question, ask me. If you don't know, we'll work the answer out together. And I don't know, but I trust their opinion. Yeah, they're gonna make mistakes. Like, who cares?
Yeah,
like, sweet. I make mistakes every day, and so it's just as long as they learn from those mistakes. But I think it's just they've got the flexibility. If they know that they need to have a day off or they want to go away, I don't care.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Someone's always going to Europe, it feels like. So.
Yeah, man. I feel like every summer break, man, there's about 20% of Aussies going to Europe.
Well, me and my main guy, like, he's practically, he runs everything on site. We didn't tell each other we're both going away to Europe last year. We both booked the same dates. So the other guys are really thrown under the bus. And yeah, I was like, I'm overseas, don't call me. And they had to hand over, I think, two projects in that time too.
Oh, gosh. And they still did it, eh?
They're fine. I just trust them. Like, yeah. They do it when I'm here and I'm not around anyway, so I'm just in a different country.
Yeah. So a question I'd like to ask, obviously, is hiring and firing, but you sort of go more down poaching, and if you get a good team, you don't really have to fire.
Yeah.
How many people do you sort of look at on a yearly basis, or, you know, let go?
I get a lot of people messaging me to work.
Nice.
I've fired two people.
Yeah.
It's not a fun thing to do. No one loves doing it. One of them was great kid, just needed to, it was hopefully the push he needed to be better.
Yeah.
The other one was a fuckwit. So
fair enough, man. There's a few of them going around.
He lasted one day.
Yeah.
literally one day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I just keep my team. I've had two people
resign. Staff retention's huge, man.
Yeah, I've had two people resign. One moved back to King Island.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do anything about that. And the other one is going to travel to Europe for a year at the moment. He's going to come back next year anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Most likely.
So he's taking a sabbatical.
That's it. Yes, that's it. Like, I don't lose. Like, I shouldn't touch wood, but I'm all about just creating an environment for them. Like you got to find out what motivates them. And for me, is it money? Is it freedom? Is it like where I forced them to have RDOs last year, like one day a month. And that was a bit of like, oh, I don't know. And how are we going to get stuff done? And now they love it. And now I'm trying to push them to do at least 9-day fortnights. I've discussed 4-day weeks, but I think that physically might be a bit too draining.
Is that becoming a bit more popular now?
A few builders doing it. Yeah.
Are they having success?
Yeah, they love it. I think it's just, it's long days on the tool.
Just 10 to 12 hour days for four?
Yeah, you're doing something like 7 to 5.30. Like, that is a long day on the tool. Like, if you're in front of an office like me, it's easy.
Yeah.
Like, at an office life, I don't understand why people don't do it. But when you're physically, if it's raining and you're walking through mud and you're carrying stuff, there's only so much. And it also comes down to whether you've got families and stuff. So if you're older and you want to see your kids and, I don't know, you might live 40 minutes away from the job and you're not getting home at 6.30.
Yeah, it's a big day.
So, and they're not in bed and then you're left before you see them. So I'm big on family. I'm big on like social. There's four things you got to get right. And that is like your social life, your diet, your exercise and your sleep. Just get those four things right and everything else will flow.
Yeah, nice.
And that's what I promote on them.
Yeah, good shit, man. Do you try and tailor what kind of suburbs of where you're getting your work and tailor it to suit guys so the travel's less?
So, yeah, I don't work. I'm very particular on the job where I travel
to. Yeah, nice,
so,
man.
I don't want to go too, like, I'm not too far, but the sense of, like, it's more traffic-based.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't go over the Westgate Bridge, really, unless I have to.
Yeah.
We're mainly around the inner west of Melbourne. We've actually done a bit of work in the inner north, and we'll push a lot more inner north work coming soon.
Yeah.
And then we're just about to hit the Gisborne, Mount Macedon
area.
It's no traffic out there, and it will suit the type of work we do. So,
sweet.
But look, I'll look at any job, and as long as if the job is like viable, good clients, and it's profitable, I'll look at it. And it's a good architect.
So yeah,
nice. I will at least look at it.
Okay. For your main like residential stuff, we can include the passive house stuff as well. Is all your contracts fixed price contracts?
Yeah. So I do like the idea, and I don't like the idea of cost plus. Mm. I think from a cost plus, you need to have immense trust in the client, and they would need it to be maybe an ABIC contract where the architect is involved, because sometimes things go wrong, and if the client needs to understand that if they like things might not come in on a budget and they've got to pay for it, and I just think it creates too much, not arguments, but there's too much paperwork.
I think there's too much back and forth, and I think there's too much stuff in the office as well, tracking hours, recording timesheet stuff. Like,
it's also not as profitable.
Yeah,
from a business point of view, like in a fixed price contract, you take on some risk, but you might win parts, you might lose some. Like,
for sure.
At the end of the day, like I know that I can claim, when I need to claim, we have about 10 to 12 stage payments per project. So we're breaking them right up. So I know that I know what's coming through each month and when it's coming. Like, I don't want to sit there and be like, oh, we did 15% of the plumbing. We only did 2% of the electrical. Like,
I just
want to bill the amount and then be done with it.
Yeah, get it done.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, man. No. And how do you do all your estimating at the moment? Do you do it in-house QS?
Yeah, so really good question. I actually, when I was an apprentice, I broke my arm playing footy. And so I got a huge scar. Yeah, so this whole thing is
pretty fucking bad.
Snapped it right in half.
Yeah.
And it was painful. So I actually jumped in, because I could use a computer, I jumped inside to learn how to estimate.
Yeah.
But they used to do it by hand and measure.
Crazy,
And it was taking like 10 hours to measure the plastering quote. I was like, I'm just in like 5 minutes. Not even. So when they realized that, I started doing that. So I learned off their time, which I was super grateful for.
Yeah.
And then I just did it for a long time, to a point recently where I've just engaged someone to take over it.
Nice.
Where I'm working with them. So it's a collaboration. It's not, here's the numbers, submit that. Like, we work together. That's working really, really well. And we just run everything through Build Exact.
Nice, man.
So I think it's something that I was super scared to hand over for a long, long time. I think that if I spoke to a few builders last week, I was like, I don't know why I didn't do this earlier. Like, I'm really kicking myself. I am a good believer, though, that you need to know how to do something well before you hand it off, though. So
for sure.
I can have that conversation, be like, why have you allowed that? Like, those days I think are short. That's too much. Otherwise, like, I need to know those things.
Yeah, otherwise they are just handing you a report and you're just going to be like, oh, cool, looks good.
Make, like, it's just, and then it's just another number. And, like, I need to know what's going into it. And the level of detail with what we do, there are so many little components that need to be discussed and detailed that I know what's in here. I need to get them onto paper and then they need to be priced accordingly. So I'll just work in with them, and she's been great so far.
Nice.
And it's more, I just don't have as much time as I used to. So look, outsource that and just working with her to do all that.
Yep.
It's been really, really helpful.
Cool. How do you handle variations, changes on site,
so it was
redoing contracts?
Hardest thing for a while. I was very lazy with it.
Didn't do it properly.
I used to use Excel spreadsheets, which is just great, but stupid.
Yeah.
So now Build Exact tracks everything for me.
Yeah, nice.
And look, I can see what's going. We've just changed our process recently where if a client wants a variation or an architect, they've got to fill out our Google form, and we will not do anything until they do it. I don't care what it is. if you're like, if we have a conversation on site and like, you're going to do it, I'm like, yeah, but go fill the form out and we'll give the price and here's the process and it's part of our contract now.
Ah, I see.
So I can then track it very early, like, have you priced it? Where's it at? It's then been accepted through Build Exact. They've signed it.
Yeah.
And every day that they're late getting that variation back to me, there's an extra day that goes on the contract.
Yeah.
Because it's a time extension. So I am very particular on that now. I learned a lot last year on those side of things. We had an issue on site that I tracked the variation well, but probably it could have been better.
Yeah.
So I've just done to a point now where it's like, you know what? You learn from mistakes and you fix it.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes you can't, I don't know if you have any business mentors or anything that help you, but sometimes you just got to learn from your own mistakes. And when it's your own money, you'll learn like way quicker and you won't make that again.
Mistakes are fine. I think people stress too much over them. Like, you got to make mistakes to learn.
100%.
It's just, you just got to minimize the risk on the mistake or the outcome of that mistake and just make sure it's not tens of thousands and it's maybe
it's not going to sink you. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and I think that comes down to just knowing what things cost. And knowing, not use, like, I don't change trades either. So all my trades are the same on every project. I've my plumber, he was, I think the first day I ever worked on a job site, he was a plumber with, he's an apprentice who now still works with him. And I use him. Like, so it's all about relationships with me. So each job I know there's the same people that everyone gets along with. They call each other. They're probably too chummy now. Like, they call each other and don't tell me things.
Because
like, we did this. Is it all right? They've now got their head around the passive house component so they can make educated decisions.
Nice.
And there's this level of trust that we all know we'll look out for each other.
It's good for your business, though. Like, at the end of the day, you do need to know as much as you can, but it's almost a good thing. If they don't have to call you for all these small things, it's like, don't bother me.
Yeah, but they're awesome. And I trust them. If they're like, this isn't going to work when you do it this way, it's great. Sweet. That's what I want to hear. Like, they're the expert. I'm just the puppet.
Yeah, you're
I know
a
little bit about everything, but I don't know everything.
From a pricing standpoint, like, a lot of people have these issues where, say, you do the price estimate, you'll fix a fixed price. Obviously, you've got good subbies now, but then subby quotes come back in later and they're miles out or miles over the estimate.
So when I send a price out and I'm at, like, I don't like the word quote because I think quote is associated with the free quote.
So
those builders or trades, like, on the side of the car, we do a free quote. That's just fucking dumb.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it is so dumb. So, and look, I did it at one point and I did, it's just stupid.
Slap yourself every day for it.
Yeah. So I respect that they put a value on their knowledge and their time. Whatever they come back in, I put that in my price.
Yeah, cool.
I'm not going to tell my plumber, you need to do it for this amount.
Yeah,
you
know, sweet.
Let him price it. He knows what to look for. That's what the price is.
Yeah. Like, so you won't submit a fixed price until you've got all your sub.
Yeah, and some prices, like, I know some trades suck with computers. Like, traditionally, they're not academic. They just want to
be tools. Just want to be good tradies.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll be like, what's your rate? If it's a square meter, like tiling, that's easy.
Yeah, let me know.
If there's some complexities, like, so for the plumbing or electrical with a power upgrade, let's chat about it. We'll meet on site and we'll run through it together and we'll get as much information as possible. I'll then show them the number. Do you think this is right? Is this your rate still?
Yeah.
Perfect. But look, 90% of my trades will quote the project.
Nice, man. And they'll fit within your time frame. Like, obviously, you want to get quotes to clients in the time frame.
Well, now it's about 6 to 8 weeks, we say. Like, I know it's a long time, but...
But they've already paid that fee to you?
No, well, they're part of it, but there's just so much work that goes into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's like 40 pages of information. Like,
you
can't spit that out the click of a finger. So I need to respect that some of my trades are on site. They're a 1-2-person show. Like, they need to work in the day, quote at night. Like, they got kids. Like, to spit it out in 2 weeks is not fair. So, look, I understand it. Like, it could be 2-3 weeks. We'll be very honest and upfront at the time and like, hey, this is how long we think it's going to take, like, to do it. Like, some architects will send and be like, hey, it's due here. It's like, hey, this is the day you've got it to us. We've already got other stuff. You've got to wait for us too. Like, we're not going to drop everything all the time.
Yeah, just to suit you.
Or just communicate with us. Be like, hey, we're 4 weeks out, so we can schedule it. But look, anywhere between 4 and 8 weeks, the quicker we can get it to them, the quicker we can start the conversation to value manage the project and progress it forward. So,
Sweet. What's the hardest subbies to get in Melbourne at the moment?
None.
Everyone's all you've
got. Off on my side, everyone complains, but I think this is why having trades that I've been so working with so long, like, we're loyal to each other. Like, I can call them up, like, can you come here? We're very organized. So I know that respect and giving them the jobs all the time and just working with them has come back to help me in the last few years. Like, it's a simple method. Just pay trades on time and just
be decent.
Just treat them like normal people.
Yeah, man.
Like, don't yell at them screaming. Like, they're going to make mistakes. Who cares?
Yeah, it's not a hierarchy thing, eh? I feel like that doesn't really get you favors in the back end.
We all want the same results, so let's just work together.
Yeah,
there's tough conversations.
Yeah.
Like, there's something I had a chat with my plumber this morning that I was like, look, I'm not too happy with it. And it's like, yeah, sweet. Like, it's not personal. We want the same outcome.
Yeah, it's just work, eh?
Yeah.
Do you line up smaller jobs in between bigger stuff purely
No. I'm looking like, at least 18, 24 months out with all projects.
Yeah.
So we're looking what's ahead. We're running at a higher percentage now of projects we probably can take on. So we'll probably run at 150%.
Yeah.
Understanding that some get delayed, some get pushed around, some get canceled. So that ends up being filling our schedule. So I'd say my pre-construction phase at the moment, we probably have 4 that are signed up and probably about 10 to 15 we're looking at.
Yeah, nice.
So, and they're just now like getting to that next stage. So,
cool, man.
So we're always looking ahead. Like, I'm trying to squeeze in little jobs. Like, I can always maybe take on a job, but it's got to be worth it and it needs to fit, again, all my criteria.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. So it sounds like you're real strict on criteria,
I'm just like relationships. We've got to get along. Like, we need to champion the project. Like, no one is bigger than the project. Like, I'm not bigger than the project, the architects. Like, no one's ego should be above the project itself.
Yeah. So, when you say 10 to 15 looking at, are they like paid looking at jobs or nice?
No, they're not paid yet. So they're just in our like where
warmly pipeline. Yeah,
we're getting to know each other and it might be a few coffees.
Yeah.
It might be 15 minutes. I'm like, you're not for me.
Yeah.
It's just like dating.
It's a numbers game. Yeah, you've got to get along.
Their budget needs to align and I need to align with them.
Like, yes.
And it's the architect or designer, like, I've got to be like, yeah, I can work with you.
Yeah,
like, there's so many tick boxes and I love my job and I don't want to go to work and dread it every day.
Yeah. Yeah, so, absolutely. With your guy, like, labor seems to be, from an estimating standpoint, the one that blows out the most. Do you offer like incentives with your boys? How do you
carpentry
manage?
Carpentry is the hardest thing to price.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
It's something that's on my brain a lot. And I probably don't have the greatest approach to it, but I'm not looking to make money off my team and carpenters. They're there to reduce my stress and just get the job done properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that pays for it there. So it is the hardest thing to learn to work out. I've got a good team. They're all on wages. I've got some carpenters now that are subcontractor that I'll bring in.
Yeah.
And that will just, it's more about probably speeding the projects up and helping out. People are expensive.
Yeah, man.
And it's just like, I know you look at states around Australia and Victoria here, we get capital gains tax, payroll tax a lot earlier than anyone else in any other state. And you get taxed to have an employee, which is just fucking dumb.
Yeah, that's outrageous, man.
And like, I want to employ more, but why would I then do that to then lift?
Yeah.
Like,
isn't it worth just having subcontractor carpenters in?
Just works with subcontractors.
Pay the fee, pay the GST.
Keep clients' bills down. Otherwise it's just,
So
I think that
seems outrageous, eh? That's the first time I've heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know it 100%, but I know that it's payroll tax. I think in Victoria at the moment, if you have $500,000 of wages a year or it's a certain amount a month, you pay a certain percentage.
Man, so it's like an ACC and then another tax on top of that. That's outrageous.
So then you go, I think, to New South Wales and it's like 1.something million. So it's like a huge discrepancy. So, and in an industry that we need people to get into this, we need good trades, no one wants to go into this anymore. It's a job and we need to incentivize people to be doing this.
Yeah. Do you follow the stats much on like how far Vic is behind like houses or shortage of housing or
just know that the Victorian Building Authority need a complete reform.
Yeah.
And what we do in Victoria, I'm very vocal about it. I think that a lot of the industry associations they're just funded by volume builders and they've got one goal. They're actively vocal about not improving our energy efficiency and building standards. And I think they're doing a lot to hold back the industry.
Yeah.
Whilst I do some good things too, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that we need to be better. We need to demand better from our buildings. Like the VBA that give our licensing, like it's like just getting out of a Wheaties box sometimes.
Yeah.
So I think they need a complete reform. I know New South Wales are going through at the moment. We need to start holding builders accountable for like this shit they build.
Yeah.
We need to demand better. We got to make sure they build to code. Like that's their job.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people will hate me saying it, but like that's what you're there to do and do it properly. So
do you think the inspection process is too slack? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like the fact that you can go from a frame and then a final is like, phew.
Yeah, so that's mind blowing, eh? Because everything's getting covered up.
Yeah. So we do a lot of the issue that we have with like NatHERS is like the energy side of things is like it is not, it is like tested before it's built. So it's like a large percent of homes actually don't get built the way they're designed from an energy efficiency. So we're all about testing and verifying. So we will do, like this morning, I spent an hour going through our job with a thermal imaging camera to make sure all the insulation was installed properly. We'll blow it or test to see how airtight we are. We will make sure everything is marked off as per plan, that the windows match the reports, they are exact. So they're little things, but I think what I'm also introducing is I'm going to get someone in as an inspector to do a pre-plaster inspection to check all that out and make sure that, like, hey, is there anything that I missed? Because you know what? I'm probably going to miss something.
You're just busy. You got shit going on.
But even my team, like, there's things we just know, like, we know what we don't know. And there's another eye to look over it. Like, you know what? That's something that, like, just we're going to learn from it. So I'm looking at that, and then I'll also be looking at a waterproofing inspection on all my internals. It's just a high risk area. Even though I know what we're doing is completely fine and above, way above board, you know, I can get someone else to just check it off, tick it off. So then it gives the client more confidence that they're getting multiple stages from an independent inspector. They actually don't know I'm doing it. The report just stays with me. It's for my internal purposes and just quality assurance. But like that's there. I'll then probably look eventually also doing a roofing and cladding one as well.
So from a standpoint from NZ to Aussie, like we've actually got quite a lot of inspections compared to you guys. But it sounds like the, I don't know, is the red tape worse over here? Like what are the council
costs? Cost more. Like, it costs more fixing the problem.
Build
shit once. Like everyone talks about sustainability. You know, it's expensive building a house twice.
Yeah. Like an knocking it down in 10 years and then having to rebuild it.
Yeah. So water is like, water kills all buildings. It's like the biggest insurance claim. Like, you know what? Deal with water properly. Use the correct materials. That's like my beef with the VBA at the moment. They're doing an investigation to why waterproofing fails. And they're spending probably hundreds of thousands on it. I'll give you a hot tip. It's because it's not installed properly. Simple. That's it. You're not using the correct procedures, the correct materials, following the install guys and installing it properly. That's why.
Yeah.
I just saved you guys a large amount of money.
Yeah.
But what will happen is we'll do the investigation and then we've got no money to actually fund to implement the actual changes.
Because
we can't afford it. We spend it all on the study.
Yeah. So we've done, spend all the money on the study, but we can't do anything with it. Just got all this knowledge sitting here and no one can.
Oh, we can't afford it. Like, it's just so dumb. But you know the answer.
That's outrageous, man.
It's just someone ticking their job off. I did my job.
For people that don't know anything about passive housings, could you give maybe a couple, 2 to 3 examples of a couple key differences between normal housing and.
So the biggest one for me is like, we're testing what has been built. We are making sure that all your energy efficiency side of things, your energy demands on a certain amount of kilowatt hours, and we are making sure that it is a healthy, comfortable place to be that is free of mold and condensation.
Yeah.
Look, you need to make sure you build it properly as well. Like it's not products, it's process.
Okay? So for an example, so like the insulation. That's a
5 key principles.
Okay,
so
cool.
One is airtight, and for a new build, you need to be under 0.6 ACH 50, which is the pressure at 50 pascals. So that's the amount of volume of air that will turn over every hour. The Australian average is 15.4, which is a huge difference.
15.4.
Yeah, 15.4, and where all our projects are under 0.6.
Wow.
That's a huge difference. So
that's massive. So not 0.6.
Yeah, 0.6, which about is the size of maybe like a $5 bill. It's actually probably not even across a whole house.
Yeah.
So the second principle, once you build airtight, you need to introduce mechanical ventilation because you need to take all the moisture within the house
outside.
And you need to people breathe and you need to bring them in fresh air. So we filter all that from the outside. We'll recover the heat. So simply just the steam from your shower will be recovered and we'll recycle 90% of the heat inside, which means there's very little energy. Like my clients are yet to turn their heaters on.
Yeah.
Like yet people are like me blasting my heater through winter just to like survive. And so that's second principle. We're then thermal bridge free. So what that means is like, I don't remember when you're a young kid and you put the pot on the stove and you're at the metal spoon and it gets hot.
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't want steel coming or metal coming from the outside to the inside. We want to stop that because that creates heat spots, cold spots where condensation can occur. The third is just good quality windows. So a lot of our windows are triple glaze or they've got very high performing glass. Typically that's a UPVC or Aluclad. And the last principle is quality insulation.
Yeah.
Insulation is just what you can afford in the building. The more, the better,
well,
to an extent, but it's the quality of insulation. But we also, just on passive as it's also like we follow just basic building science.
So
we want to make sure that like we're dealing with water first. Like we want really good moisture barriers. I'm open. We work with ProClimber products. They are by far the best on the market.
I refuse.
I'll walk away from a job if I'm not allowed to use them. If it's spec'd anything else, I'm out. Because I know they work.
Are architects open to making those changes on their design?
Yeah, most of them are specifying it now these days.
Oh, okay, cool.
But once that, like, we deal with water, well, then we just got to deal with air. And once we deal with air, we deal with vapor. And then it's insulation because there's no point getting that insulation structure wet and it's just going to rot away.
Yeah.
And then once you fight, you kind of end up with this thing called passive house.
Yeah.
Like, it's really simple. It's tested across the world. There's tens of thousands of case, or 10,000 case studies to show this works.
Yes, sweet.
And the client knows it's a really rigorous testing process post-construction.
Yeah.
Like, they are hard.
Yeah.
Like, there was one photo. I've got to take photos of everything. And it was like, I took photos of one of the windows and one of the corners was cut out.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, we can't see the corner of the window. I'm like, come on, mate. You can see from the other side that it's there. I haven't chopped it off.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we need to see the full window. So it gets sent to, like, yeah, it's this whole, it takes about a year post-construction to get certified.
To get it signed off.
It is full on. But
is there, like, testing through, like, years to, like, 12 months?
No, we don't need to test post it.
Get the sign off.
We do test it. We just want to know, like, how the house is performing for future data and performance on houses where if we try something that did that work. Like, we recently done a doggy door in a passive house. The doggy doors that certified passive house are like 4,000 euro.
Wow.
And we build ours for about 600 bucks, Australian dollars. So it's a lot different. So we're testing. That's gone in. We're seeing, hey, does that work? What's the feedback on that?
Yeah.
And then we can take that onto other projects. But it's more just wanting to understand the user experience.
Yeah.
And understand the clients to get it out to other people. Like, this is how healthy it is. Like, when you see these filters, and one of our clients has recently explained, like, they've pretty much dropped from one of a child having asthma.
Yeah.
That they don't get anything anymore.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Do you know a rough ballpark, obviously, square meter rate between a standard traditional house and a passive house? Like, cost goes up.
So
the savings afterwards, obviously, are going to be
one of the most talked about questions that I get.
Yeah.
From what we build, it's pretty much no more expensive. Sometimes you're chasing these numbers that doesn't make sense, and therefore we'll say we don't need to go to certification because spending $30,000 just to tick a box kind of doesn't make sense.
Your
house is still in the 0.01% of the best houses in Australia from a performance perspective. It depends what we compare, because a lot of people compare it. Custom build, and any custom build is not a volume build.
No.
So all that spec home, that should be a whole separate industry.
Yeah.
The hard thing is, and it's like, when people first hear a quote, they hold on to that cheapest quote they've ever heard of.
I know.
And it tends to be volume builders. Like, oh, I can build for 300,000. That's what's in my head. That's what I'm stuck with. It's like when you're younger and you see a can of Coke, it used to be like a dollar.
Yeah.
Now it's like 250. You'd be like, why isn't it a dollar?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But things then go up in price. So I think it's anything that's a custom build should be looked at differently. And I can tell you that jobs that we have done, that if they were just a standard build, what we would call a standard, and then going to passive, sometimes they can be even cheaper.
Okay.
If they've got a $70,000-$80,000 hydronic heating system, like, we can practically eliminate that.
Yeah.
So inside, it already comes down to the architecture and design.
Yeah.
But everything we do is custom. It's not cookie cutter. So
yeah,
is a very hard, rough guide to gauge.
Yeah. No, that's all good. How many builders in Aussie are building passive houses at the moment?
A lot have done the tradesperson core side things, and that's where it's like, hey, I've learned it but haven't implemented it.
Okay.
There's probably about 10 of us that are really taking it seriously.
Nice.
A lot trying to get more into it, which is awesome. We need more people doing it, but we need more architects and designers actually putting their money where their mouth is and going, hey, we've designed sustainably. It's like, we'll do it properly.
Yeah.
And like, you've signed up to all these things to say we're going to be better, we'll be better.
Yeah.
So the more we can get clients demanding, well, the clients are starting to demand it, actually.
Yeah.
All of our clients that come to us, they want it. Once we can get more architects demanding it, like, if you've got a $2 million job, there is no reason why you can't implement it. Like, it makes no sense. So once we can get more of that, the more builders can build and we get more of it. And then the more we do, the cheaper it comes down.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think in a few years, it should be practically like for like. Look, there's probably slight, people say 3-5%.
Yeah.
But that's not a large amount of money.
Okay.
Just reduce your stone.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. What do you do when you're not building? What's your outside lifestyle choices? Europe last year. Did a holiday.
I'm traveling. Nice. Got a dog that me and my wife spend a lot of time with. So she's our little, like, angel. A lot of time with family. She runs the show. So family, friends, like, I love a good Netflix series.
Yeah, man.
Or just TV series. Like, I want to just unwind. Still play like football stupidly. My body's like banged up.
Bro, I was going to say, cracked arm, man.
I don't know why I still do it. but like that's, it's just for me, it's like the mental break to get away from work. I know I'm...
Reliever from stresses or whatever.
Yeah, but it's just like just whatever, like going out for dinner or whatever. Like I'm pretty...
Nice.
I still don't have kids, so I'm pretty lucky.
Good
I'm
stuff.
Not lucky. We'll see.
Yeah, it's a work on.
But yeah, that I'm sure will change what free time I have. I probably won't be watching as much TV in the future.
No, good.
But yeah, like anything. Like I'm very open, just... get away from work as much as possible.
Nice, man. Cool, bro. Well, thanks for coming. Thank I think we've covered much. Some good topics.
Yeah. Cheers for having us on. I really appreciate it.
Much appreciated. Thank you. Cheers, bro.